Ernest, listen up. When people all around the world first started going out protesting this summer, you'd hear it over and over. This time is different. But how? And who are the people trying to make it different? In Gimlet's new podcast, Resistance, host Saeed Tijan Thomas Jr. brings us stories from the front lines of the movement for Black lives told by the generation fighting for the change. It's a show about people refusing to accept things as they are and how we can make sure this time really is different. Resistance is out now. Follow and listen for free on Spotify.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. Before we even talk about growing social media, I want to make this completely, you know, just put it out there. You don't have to grow your social media if you don't want to, right? It's not like something that a lot of times people feel pressured by the numbers of followers that they have. It doesn't matter. Like, everybody doesn't have to have a million followers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I know plenty of millionaires that have 100 followers.
Right.
I know plenty of people that are dead broke that have 3 million followers. Happens all the time.
True.
But social media can be used as a very powerful marketing tool. So as an entrepreneur, as a small business person, as anybody, a musician, whatever, if you want to, you know, market yourself, social media is a great way to actually do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about growing a social media presence. I'll talk about Instagram because that's what I know, right? Yeah. That's the, my thing.
It's the world.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I'll tell the backstory on this. So, this started 2 years ago, right? I was in California with Mike, my man Mike.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. Yeah, that's a fact.
He left me out the store.
No.
Mike had the
I left.
He left the day early. He left like 2 days early.
Yeah.
So, we were there for my birthday, and like the last 2 days when Troy left, we sat in a hotel room for like 10 hours. And we mapped out a strategy for me to grow on Instagram, right? Because I was saying, like, you know, I want to be like a financial guy on Instagram, but I don't really know how to go about it. But I feel like there was a need for it in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I had a private page. I had 500 followers. So we talked about, okay, different strategies that you can take, right? So first thing that we did was figure out exactly like what my goals were. Right. So the first goal was to get 5,000 followers. Right. But we had history in growing an Instagram page prior to that. Right?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit.
Fashion Wave. Yeah, yeah, we never put that out though.
Yeah.
So Fashion Wave was a fashion blog that we started.
Yeah.
In 2012.
Yeah.
Right. Because in 2012, I saw the direction that Instagram was going in. I like to call myself a visionary. I kind of saw it happen before it happened. So what happened is that
there it is.
Humbly speaking,
I'd agree. Let's go for it.
I used to follow a page. I still do follow the page called Fashion. What was the name of it?
Oh man, I was gonna say Fashion Bum, but it's not. That's not her.
Yeah, it was a fashion page. And long story short, it's like a lookbook, right? But what I realized in 2012 was that they were putting it would be a woman with a dress, but then in the caption it would say where to get the dress from. So it was an ad, but it was camouflaged as a regular post.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Most people didn't realize what was going on. This is before a sponsored ad and ad. But I realized right away, I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. Like, this is a way where you can reach millions of people online. Yeah. It's much cheaper, I was assuming, for people to advertise on her Instagram page as opposed to go to like a magazine,
100%.
Or a TV, and it's much more effective, right?
Well, the funny thing is to not to just hop in that real quick, and we'll probably maybe go into the genesis of all this. But I had a clothing company for a long time before any of this, and I remember during the Instagram, you know, days of like the 2012s and up, where that was the lick. Like that, you know, you would go in there and you'd be like, oh, like this, you know, that was before the algorithms kicked in and all the money came in the mix. Yeah. But that was a period of time where it was really like, oh, I can just put this out here, and you know, even if I only have 3,000 people seeing, all 3,000 of them are seeing it though.
Exactly.
And I put my link in, and we'll just go from there. I mean, that, you know, that changed. That was the way. That was the method.
Yeah, we sat here. It was in this house. Like, we sat here, and we were downstairs, and we were like, yo, this is crazy. Like, you can't, I'll never forget, you're like, yo, print is dead. Nobody uses print anymore.
That's a
print
fact.
Is dead.
Yeah, that's a fact. I said
like, this is the new wave right here.
And that's a fact. I said that in 2012. I said print's over. This is what it is right
we
now.
We got to be on this.
I'm like, we got to do this. So we started a fashion blog called
Fashion Wave. Two V's.
Yeah. So we had the Fashion Wave, right? And we built Fashion Wave to like 10,000 followers.
Yeah, we got to 13.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty sizable. How we built Fashion Wave was we did that. We kind of cheated on that a little bit. So there's
truth be told.
Yeah, no, it's full transparency.
Yeah.
So there's websites and there's apps where you can actually like other people's pictures.
Yeah.
And so the theory is that you like enough pictures, then people see that you liked it, they'll look on your page, and then if your page is like decent, then they'll follow
turn
you back.
Around. Yeah.
It actually worked.
No, Instagram, I can't reiterate this enough. Before the algorithm kicked in, if you were any kind of like, you know, had any kind of savvy on Instagram, like it was so much easier to grow a following or so much easier to monetize it. Like it was like mind-bendingly easy compared to now.
Yeah, no,
like,
sure. It was. So, okay, so we were doing that. And it was growing at a pretty fast rate, right? And then we actually even paid for a shout out.
Yeah.
The shout out pages too. So we paid for a shout out. That helped us. It was a shout out page for like 800,000. They shouted us out, and off that shout out, we got like 2,000 followers.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So
phone stopped working. It was like turn off. Yeah.
After like a couple of months, like I said, we got up to around 12,000 followers now. This is a cautionary tale though. So this is the first experience with me growing a page, us growing a page, right? The only thing that we didn't do, that's another thing that you can do, is you follow people and then you unfollow. There's apps for that also. Now, all of those ways work. Pay for shout outs, pay to like other people's pictures, mm-hmm. pay to an app to follow somebody, then unfollow them. All of those, they actually all work. But they're not effective.
Right.
Because what happens is that you get followers, but they're ghost followers, right? So what happens is that now they're not engaged. So you have 10,000 followers, but you might be getting 50 likes on your picture.
Yeah. Or you have like 50,000 followers and there's like two comments.
Yeah.
The ratio is just crazy.
It's not effective. It's a fast way to grow a page, but it's not effective, right? So learning from that experience, fast forward like 5 years when I was starting my page, I said I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to do it organically. So I did it organically. And so the first thing I did was I talked to Valencia. She was a guest on our show. Yeah. So Val, she had a page where she had 160,000 followers, something like that. She's mastered social media. So the first thing that she told me was look what everybody else in your industry is doing and do the complete opposite.
Go the other way.
Do the complete opposite, right? I didn't fully understand her at first. It took me a while, but now I definitely understand it. So, all right, a lot of it for me was trial and error, right? So I was posting. The first thing you have to do is post very consistently on Instagram. That's the biggest, that's the number one thing. That,
content.
No. You got to have content. That's the first thing that will knock out 90% of the people right away. Mm-hmm. They're not consistent. It sounds like it's easy.
It's not.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
So that's the first thing you have to do is post content, right? The next thing you have to do is actually figure out what kind of content you're going to post and how is it different from everything else and how is it going to be intriguing to the audience, right? So like for me personally, it took me a while to figure that out because at first I was just making like random selfie videos about finance and stuff like that. But for me, it was kind of boring. And it got some traction, but it was boring. But as I was doing that, I was still growing the page. Right. It wasn't growing a lot, but it was growing, right? It would go from like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, because I was just putting out constant content.
Yeah. You got clips of the classrooms.
Yeah, I was putting out classrooms when I was teaching financial literacy and stuff like that. And, you know, it was starting to pick up. But when my page really took off is when I completely rechanged it. So the first thing that Val told me to do was go look on your page and eliminate anything that is unrelated to what you're doing. So she told me that like your Instagram page, if somebody just looks at it for the first time without reading your bio, they should be able to tell what you actually do, right? A lot of times people have a lot of random different things on your Instagram page and you don't know what the person does, right?
Specialization.
Exactly.
Oh, they get real artsy with it. So like white picture, black picture.
Exactly. So that's the first thing that I did was I eliminated all of the things on my Instagram page that wasn't really related to what I wanted the public to see in that regards, right? The next thing I did was I started to dig deeper and offer more value than almost anybody else I was seeing on Instagram. So I found my niche in sports and entertainment, but the financial backstories on it, right? So what I would do is I would research articles about different, you know, topics, trending topics, and I would write. I became like kind of a journalist, right? Like I would write like in-depth 3-paragraph write-ups mm-hmm. on it. And people really found that intriguing, right?
Yeah. They're not to cut you off, but like that was the part I was like, wait, they didn't know these stories? Yeah. Like, I'm like, yo, he's like, yo, you saw that post? I'm like, yeah, they didn't know. And when we saw the feedback, it was like,
it was probably just your conversations yeah, already. You were just like, oh, this is what we know.
And well, then, yeah. And then some of them he posts, I'm like, wait, I didn't know that.
right.
Okay, now you got something. Absolutely. You got something.
Yeah, so that. And then I also fixed, so I'm learning as I'm going, right?
Right.
So I said, okay, I found a nice niche with this. Then I also figured out that people like headlines, right? So I kind of mastered the clickbait thing, right? So in all my articles that I was writing, I used the app where I actually put the caption on it. So the caption is very important, right? This, I can't stress this enough. The caption, if you're writing something, the caption is extremely important because that's what's going to get people's attention, right? So I'll see an article. Now you have to be creative with this. I can't tell somebody how to actually make a caption that's going to get people interested, but you have to think, right? Use your brain. Short. People don't like to read. This is something that is extremely important. People don't like to read. So the least amount of words that you can use, the better. Even with write-ups, right? This is something that Val taught me also. At first I was writing very long write-ups. Anything more than 3 paragraphs, in my opinion, is too long. Even 3 paragraphs might be too long, but it might not be as long as it's intriguing.
Right.
The key is to make it very detailed in a short amount of time. This is why the Instagram 60-second videos are perfect, because they say the average person's attention span is like 10 seconds or something like that.
Right.
You lose people's attention very quickly, right?
Yeah.
So as I'm doing that, I figured out how to capture people's attention by writing about sports and entertainment. I use sports and entertainment because it's like a Trojan horse, right? I know that people are interested in sports and entertainment,
right?
Pop culture more than anything else. So if I'm a regular finance guy, I could talk about finance. I know that 90% of people don't care about that. But if I can talk about Allen Iverson and then talk about taxes, or if I can talk about LeBron James and tie it in with entrepreneurship, 9 times out of 10, people are more likely to click on that or watch that video as opposed to something
else. It's built in, like the medicines in the candy.
Exactly.
100%. No, that's just the way any of it works.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, you gotta, in order to give them what they need, you gotta kind of give them what they want. Yeah. It's just the way it works. Yeah.
Exactly. And sports and entertainment come naturally for me because those are the 2 things that I like.
We argue about that all the time.
I love doing that. I've been doing that my whole life, right? So that's why I use sports and entertainment. So I say that to say, as far as somebody going to their Instagram page, you have to think outside the box. It's a finance page, but I use sports and entertainment, which aren't directly related to finance, but it can be, right?
It definitely is. I mean, it's a sports business. So
exactly.
It definitely is.
So another thing with that is now you have to figure out timing to post. Timing of post is very important. I see people posting at 1 o'clock in the morning. You have to figure out the top times to post. So me personally, my schedule usually on average is like 11 o'clock in New York, Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock in the morning, I'll have a post. Maybe like a write-up, right? Or like a picture or something like that. I'll stretch it out I'll do 3 hours, right? So maybe like around 1-2 o'clock, midday, I'll post something else. I usually try to post videos at like 5-6 after people get off of work, because what I find is that a lot of times people work, it's hard for them to listen to videos while they're actually working.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't usually try to post videos. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't post videos during the daytime. I post videos at night. Not too late at night though, like right when people get off. 6 o'clock is prime time. 6-7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is prime time to post videos.
Yeah.
That's just what works for me.
Yeah,
everybody's different. That's what works for me.
Everything well calculated.
No, you have to be extremely calculated. Yeah. Also, as far as the Instagram, you gotta treat Instagram like a job. So my sleeping pattern has been off for the last 2 years.
Yeah, this is yeah, go ahead.
No,
it's a fact.
No, it's a fact. I haven't had normal sleeping in 2 years.
I told you that, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, can I tell you? So like, most people don't see this, man, but like the Earn Your Leisure, like, really is a testament to what you're doing. So like, I know like you're up till 3 a.m. most nights. Like, this guy doesn't sleep. Like, legit does not sleep. Is up all day, works. So sometimes, like, we'll be talking and I'm like, yo, like, wake up, man. Like, right? He's either here, like, super dedicated here, right. Or he's, like, typing up things. Like, and we could be doing anything. Like, we could be having a conversation, or we could be at dinner, and he's constantly doing it.
Right.
So, like, my thing was, like, I'm watching him grow. And this is a testament, too, that people should learn. Like, I want to see my brother win.
100%.
Like, I want to see him win 100%. So it's like, how can I make this a little bit easier for him? So I was like, you know what? You don't have to search anymore, bro.
Right.
Anything I find, I'm sending.
But we'll talk about that.
Oh, we're gonna get there.
That's a different page.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, the testament to what he's doing.
Right.
Like, legit. Like, his mom came up to me and was like, yo, listen, Troy, he got to get some sleep. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if he knows how to anymore.
If someone isn't concerned a little bit, I don't know.
I said, I don't know if he knows how to anymore.
Right.
Legit.
Like, no, because, like I always say, when you're really scrambling, there's no work hours. That's the difference. See, people talk about being an entrepreneur and having their own business and really, but you got to understand the average person, we're trained for a schedule. As humans, we start school, and from kindergarten to college, we have a schedule of like 8 o'clock in the morning to like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Even if you're in college, it's still kind of some schedule that you have to go through for classes, right? And then when you get a job, it's either 9 to 5, 10 to 6. Those are like usual hours jobs, right? So that's what we're trained to think. It's very different when you wake up at any time you want, you go to sleep anytime you want, and then you figure out the day as you go.
Right.
You have to have a different type of mind to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But if you are an entrepreneur, that's what it really is. So for me, there's no work hours. Yeah. So I have the financial planning business I do during the day, the Instagram, social media I do during the day, but also I do a lot of that at night.
Right.
So I work better at night. So what I do is that From like 11 o'clock to like 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when I'll work. You know what I mean? So I'll research stuff. Then I'll have all my posts ready for the next day.
Right.
It's like meal prep, right?
100%.
You want to have it ready. So now, I have 3 posts already planned for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have 2 pages. So now I got to have 6 posts planned for the next day that I know I'm going to post 11, 3, and 6.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But then also with that, you have to learn. So I seen a video from Nipsey Hussle before when he talked about in the early stages, he was his own engineer. He learned every part of the process. That's the same thing with me. I learned every part of the process as far as how to make a post. It's not that easy. So there's different apps that I learned how to use. So the first thing I learned how to do was edit videos. So there's an app called Splice.
Mm.
So when you see a video, it's like if you watch a movie, right? In 60 seconds for like the podcast, when we put clips on Instagram, that 60-second clip might be from a 3-minute video.
Yeah.
I gotta cut out the dead spaces. So a dead space is like this. Like if I'm talking and then it's like five seconds of
that little pregnant pause.
Exactly.
Right,
that's the pregnant,
pause.
That 5 seconds means a lot for an Instagram post, right? So you gotta cut that out. Or if I'm making a good point and then I just talk about some nonsense for a minute, but then I make another good point. Now I got to cut out that 1 minute, right?
Yeah.
So, and I learned how to do that just by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard, but that's the app, Splice. Also, another app that I use is Vont. Vont is the app that I put the captions on the videos.
Here's how.
Yeah. So that's the app called Vont. Sometimes you want to speed up a video. So Video Speeder is a app that I use to speed up videos.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you can have like a video might be 1 minute and 10 seconds, but you want to make it a minute. You speed it up so it actually fits in a minute. That's another useful app as well. Then there's another app called Perfect Video. Perfect Video allows you to add music and then it does some other stuff, right? So I say that to say that learning about apps, and this is why this conversation is valuable leading into apps, is extremely important because you literally, we're in a day and age now where you could teach yourself how to make a movie if you really are dedicated enough.
Oh, facts.
Like, if you're really dedicated enough, right?
Facts.
Like, you don't have to pay anybody to do anything.
University of YouTube. It's just what it is. I'm like, I'll tell you flat out, you know, because I'm going to need about all of those apps because everything I do, I mean, I handle all the social media and everything and all the content for QuickTrack. And I mean, I'm Premiere Pro and I just do everything through there. But like, I mean, I have people who have gone to, you know, LA Academy of Film and have been like, how'd you do that? And I'm like, I just YouTube this, man. Like, what are you talking about?
No,
like,
everything's at the palm of your
hand. There is, you know, my thing is, especially with creating any content, you just have to be able to formulate the question you want answered. because there's an app for that. That's a fact.
When they say there's an app for that, there really is an app. That's a fact. So then, okay. So then also, all right. So now we got to the content. Content, I can't stress this enough. One of the biggest mistakes that people make on social media is that they think quality is more important than content. It's not true. Content is more important than quality, right? What I mean by that is that you see a lot of people in their videos, it looks like immaculate. Steven Spielberg, man, right? They got the music behind it and
lighting.
It's dope.
Yeah, the lighting's but great.
They're not talking about anything, right? Our videos shot on the iPhone.
Facts.
With a $5.99 app that I use to write the caption on it. Yep. It's not the best quality. Hopefully we will improve our quality.
That's good too though, because like our audience gets to see us grow.
The thing about that is as well is, you know, some wise people once told me this, but once you invest in upping your quality, you can never reverse. You know, you can never go back to just getting off the iPhone and going to work. So you want to stay in there as long as you possibly can.
But it's true. And then also people care more about content. The example I always use is Bobby Shmurda, right? That video was shot on an iPhone, right? It was a catchy dance. He threw his hat in the air and never came back down.
We still haven't found it.
I literally landed in New York and looked up.
Yeah. We still haven't found it.
It never came back down. It was a good beat and just a good song. And it caught wildfire, right?
It wasn't even his, by the way. Fun fact.
It was Lloyd Banks.
Yeah.
But I say that to say,
to Lil B.
He didn't spend $1 million on his video.
Didn't have it.
Nah.
And no. Those days are over.
Fire.
Exactly. Yeah. The people want what's authentic. They want what's real, and they want content. Yeah. Content is more important. That's why when I tell people all the time, like, content. It doesn't cost anything to pull your iPhone out and just start recording, right? You're going to figure it out as you go. But if you're waiting to, like, have the perfect lighting, have the perfect budget, you're always going to be waiting.
Yeah.
Because nothing is ever going to be perfect, right?
We find that. I mean, we know that.
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. Content is king. And you have to figure out content for yourself, because nobody can tell you what kind of content you're going to make, right?
Yeah.
It has to be something that is unique and solely you, right? Because even with me, like, so when I started doing videos and then I started doing Here's How. Like, I didn't see anybody else doing Here's How. Nobody. Here's How. Like, it would be like, how to make $1 billion. Here's How.
Yeah.
You go on Instagram right now, you see a bunch of Here's How videos. But that's dope, though, because that's saying that people find value in it, right?
Absolutely. So
they
only
At first, it was like, yo, they biting my stuff. But I was like, yo, it's cool, though, because it's like, that's the impact.
With how connected we all are, you haven't done anything until someone copies it.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that, because I even see CNN doing it. I saw CNN.
That's one. Yeah. I got that text. You got that text.
Yeah, that would make me, you know, I'd be a little tight.
I got that text.
Nah, but the thing about it is that they can never duplicate your brain.
At all.
It's nothing for me to come up with a new idea.
At all.
So that's why it's like, it's not even, because things move so quick on the internet anyway, right?
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too. You have to be, you can never stay stagnant, and you have to stay up to speed. So, like, now I'm noticing that Instagram TV is getting more views than Instagram videos. I think Instagram is doing that on purpose. So Instagram, this is something, this is not a conspiracy theory. Instagram has an algorithm, right? And
for those who don't know,
they change their algorithm.
Surprise.
Regularly. They change their algorithm regularly, right? And they also, they have all kinds of tricks in place to monitor and to restrict your growth if they feel an issue.
Oh, 100%. They want, you have to pay Zuckerberg. It's the way it is. That's how they want, I mean, if you're not hip to it, if you don't actually strategize and go through it and kind of jump through the hoop, if you try to play the same game too long, they'll be like, all right, sick. You know, Mark Zuckerberg says,
It happened to me. They shadow banned me twice. So if anybody is not familiar with shadow ban is when they limit the reach of your post without you actually knowing that they limit the reach of your post. So what happens is that hashtags is also another great way to grow your following. Hashtags does work. They do work, but you have to be careful with hashtags, right? Because with hashtags, so what I was doing before is that it was like copy and paste. Like, I think you're allowed to put 30 hashtags on a post, right? But I will copy and paste it and put it in the caption, because that way nobody can see it. It's kind of tacky to me to put it in your post, right? Mm-hmm. But it works. You can see the analytics on it, and it'd be like half of the people reached through hashtags, right? Yeah. But what happened is that if you use the same group of hashtags,
that copy and paste theory,
what happens is that now it alerts Instagram, and they look at your account, they flag your account, right? So now they look at it like it might be spam. They shadow ban you. The first time I got shadow banned, I didn't know what was going on. I just, my post just dropped dramatically as right. far as engagement. How I learned I got shadow, how I knew I got shadow banned is that, so I put a hashtag, like one hashtag, like earn your leisure on a post. And then I searched that hashtag and my post wasn't on there. So that means that they, like they took, the hashtag is on there, but it's not showing publicly.
Right, right.
Right? And then I Googled what that meant and then I found out that that's shadow ban. Shadow ban works, it's 14 days to the exact moment. This is true. Because I tested it.
Twice.
Yeah, it happened to me twice. 14 days to the exact moment. So now I don't even use hashtags at all.
Yeah, hashtags are dead now. Like, that's a huge component. They're not dead, but it's you got to mind your, you know, you got to kind of be mindful of
it. You got to be very careful with hashtags. Yeah. That's extremely important. Because like I said, it is a great way to grow. But if you're using the same hashtags, you will get shadow banned.
100%. Yeah.
So another thing I want to talk about is that a lot of times people, all right, you're going into Instagram to monetize, right? It's important to know the numbers of monetization and what you're looking to do. So what I mean by that is that sometimes a page can have, I'll give you an example. So I know a Instagram model, bartender type. She has like, let's say millions of followers, right? Like let's say 3 million followers.
Right.
I know somebody else who is just a regular person who has 150,000 followers, right? The person who has 150,000 followers, I know for a fact is making more money on Instagram than the $3 million bartender. The reason why is that the 3 million follower bartender is limited in the post that she can, you know, monetize, right? It's right. like how many companies are going to pay a bartender to post, right? You're limited to lingerie, tummy tees.
Waistbands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Fashion Nova if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
I had a very high end.
Get to it. Get to it.
Yeah. So now you have 3 million followers, but it's hard to monetize that.
Right.
Where the person with 120 followers is a clean page. So now they have major corporations, Macy's, Calvin Klein, all kind of stuff like that, that are paying, their budget is way higher.
Oh, for
thousands
sure.
Thousands of dollars. $5,000 for one Instagram post, right? So that's something to keep in mind too, because also on YouTube, a YouTube channel, a financial YouTube channel like ours, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. A financial YouTube channel can have, let's say, 10,000 subscribers. That's more valuable than maybe even 100,000 followers to a page that's cursing, that has all kinds of stuff, right? Because they're not gonna get ads.
Right.
YouTube is very restrictive of who they give ads to, yep. They watch it. Even with our post, we had one video with Al Harrington when we talked about the cannabis industry. We didn't get ads on that video because it was cannabis.
The fact that the title had marijuana in it was enough.
Oh, they
for
said,
them to say no, nah, this is too risky.
We know for sure.
So yeah. I mean that's one of those examples where we're learning as we go.
Got right? to.
So
that's key. Move fast and break things.
Yeah.
So when you look at monetizing, what I mean by that is that when you look to grow a page to monetize it, it's not always all about followers. It's about the content that you're putting out and the quality of, you know, your post and what you're doing, and also engagement is very important as well.
Yeah.
So don't always get caught up in numbers, because your smaller amount of numbers can actually be very valuable if A, you have strong engagement, and B, you have clean content or content that can be valuable to people that want to use your page as a you know, for advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And also I will stress the fact that you have to think about long-term game, right? So what I mean by that is that people get in and that they want to make money in Instagram right away, and it's obvious. They get like 300 followers and they start trying to promote a seminar or come to my, you know, online course. It's like, no, you don't even have a big enough platform, right?
Right.
You gotta give out samples first. Right?
Yep.
So it might take a year or 2 years of giving out free information, free posts.
Yeah.
You're growing your following. Now you can offer a paid product. It doesn't make sense to try to offer a paid product before you've even established credibility. I see that all the time though. People are so thirsty for business. As soon as they get on Instagram, 2 weeks later, I see them promoting paid events.
Mm-hmm.
Those are never gonna work. It's never gonna work. You have to grow your following, and then you get money on the back end. The back end is always more lucrative than the front end. I can't stress that enough. People need patience. It doesn't happen overnight. Patience is very key.
Yeah.
Extremely key. And the last thing that I'll talk about with the Instagram growth is that we talked about the long game, but also I cannot stress this enough either. You have to put in work. It sounds very easy. It's not. Social media is like any other job campaign that you're running. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to sit down, figure out a strategy, figure out what works for you, because everybody's different, right?
Yeah.
And you have to commit time into doing that. If you're not willing to commit time, maybe it's not for you, and that's fine. Yeah. Like I said, everybody doesn't have to grow a social media page.
Yeah, that was like a comment, like somebody put in the comments when we were shouting out Mike. We were shouting out Mike, and it was like, well, if he has 1,500, you have 8,000, why didn't he do it for himself? And that was one of the things. It was just like, he doesn't want to grow his page, right? We'd rather, and our team is just like, yo, if Rashad has this thing going, like, let's just support him.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Well, the funny thing is, and to piggyback off that point, that I always think it's interesting, because I've always really thought about, the disconnect between people who want to grow their social media following and actually doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because it's in an app, they're looking for, apps are mostly here to, automate, to make things go faster in your life. So they think oh, if I want to do this, there should be a way to also automate that process.
Right.
But that's not the case. It's not. They don't really give it the proper respect of that dude who got, even his 50,000, sweat equity went into that 50,000. Sweat equity.
And also too, a lot of times, earn your leisure, right? So it took me 2 years to grow my personal page from 500,000 followers to right now I'm at 80. But let's say in January I was at 50,000. So it took me 2 years to grow my personal page from zero pretty much to 50. Earn Your Leisure, I started, because I run the Earn Your Leisure page, I started Earn Your Leisure in January. It took me 6 months to scale Earn Your Leisure from zero to 70,000. The reason being, it's a lot easier to scale a page when you already have another page, right? That's something that people don't realize enough either. Even with starting a podcast, people try to start podcasts with 100 followers.
Yeah.
You don't have an audience. Who's going to listen?
It's all leverage.
It's all about leverage, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to scale. It's easy to scale a page from another page.
Yep.
It's also easier to scale a brand as opposed to a person. People are more likely to follow a brand page than they are a personal page. Earn Your Leisure is growing faster at a faster rate than my own personal page. Yeah. People are more likely, it's just human nature, I don't know why, people are more likely to follow something that doesn't directly attach to one person as they are to a one person's personal page.
Yeah. Right.
That speaks to the point. It's like, Earn Your Leisure has 70,000, right? I think I might have just cracked 1,000, but I'm like, that's
congratulations.
Fine. Right? I'm still fine. there's no social equity that comes with that for me. It's like, I'd rather build the brand, let Shadi build his personal brand and just add value to what we're doing already.
Well,
right?
People want to be a part of something.
Right.
You're buying into, to piggyback off you, if it's one person, they might like that one person, but they're trying to buy in to something bigger than that. Earn Your Leisure is so much bigger.
Exactly.
It's on the t-shirts. It's so much bigger than just that's a good post you just made.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because
should be.
As Earn Your Leisure grows, I grow also.
Yeah.
First thing, Earn Your Leisure grow, he grows. And also, the last comment I'm going to make on that is the teamwork. As I said, I run the Earn Your Leisure page as far as putting up posts, but I have help. So Troy, the formula that we have for Earn Your Leisure is that Troy sends
24 hours.
Troy sends me articles in the morning, different financial articles. Then I review the list of articles that he sends me, and I kind of pick which ones would be good for Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
I post it, and then I do a short write-up of it. So now I don't have to look for articles. Troy does that. He sends it to me, and then I do what I do.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he does best. I'm doing what I do best, and we work together as a team. As opposed to him trying to post, that's not really his thing.
Yo, no, I'm going to tell you, the first 2 weeks, I was finding posts, and I'd be up at 5:30. I told people, I'm up at 5:30. I know he's going to sleep at 3. I'm waking up at 5:30. And I would try to write these things, and I'm like, you know what? He's mastered this. I don't have to reinvent this. I'm going to let him be great. I'm going to take some of the load off of him. Like, I'll just send him everything I find.
Well, that's so just
that's teamwork.
A good team is not, hey, I need you to learn this. It's, you're really good at this, so we're going to triple down on what you do.
A lot of people have trouble doing it. It's like, wait, he's getting all the shine. He's getting all the shine. He has 80,000. I'm like, looking, that's my real brother. like, if you see him, then you see me. That's just how I'm feeling. And it takes a lot of maturity, and it takes humility to, like, get to that point where it's like, you know what? We're all winning. If he wins, we're all winning. You know what I mean? But, like, a lot of times in our community, we don't work together, and we can't do that. It's like, wait, he's shining. Nah, I got to shine, too. Like, nah, if he shines, we all shining, y'all.
100%.
Yeah, so that is my Instagram growth tutorial.
A step-by-step booklet for you to get IG on tech.
And then also, one last thing. Engagement is extremely important in Instagram. Try to engage with your followers as much as possible. Instagram Live is extremely valuable. That's a good way to establish engagement. And then also comments. Just reply to as many comments as you possibly can. Reply to as many DMs as you possibly can, especially in the early stages, because now, like, for us, it's hard to respond to DMs because we get so many. But in the early stages, when you don't have a lot, take your time. Respond to DMs.
Every single one.
Respond to comments, because it helps your engagement, especially the comments, and then also it shows the people that you care.
Yeah, and for sure.
There's a face to it.
I cannot understate that, overstate that enough. Like, you have to engage and build a community.
Yeah.
It's not just like you. It has to be a community. So, yeah,
that's. Can we do one thing? Can we do it? Like, when you started your page, right? Like, after the LA trip, like, we spoke about this before, but there was a movie that we put together for you. Right? It was the original hashtag Earn Your Leisure. Can we put that out this week?
Possibly.
Ah, y'all gonna thank me later.
I co-signed this. It should come out.
Oh, it's great. That's great.
What he's referring to is that. So yeah, we had. Like I said, I tried everything. So when I first started the social media campaign, I had Mike. We filmed a mini movie.
I'm all in.
And we had like two models, and it was like a day in the life. And I was like waking up.
It was my first screenplay.
I was like reading the Wall Street Journal. Working out. It was like traveling like through me throughout the course of the day.
It's my favorite thing already. Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you this idea. We were like working out. He was like, "Yo, how should we like literally wrote this screenplay?" It was great.
Yeah, we wrote it out. Screen.
Wait till y'all see it.
And you know what? And I realized that we was gonna promote it on Instagram. And I realized before I never put it out because I'm like, this is corny. Like,
it didn't pass your test. I was like, this is a little weird.
This isn't. Yeah. This isn't what I want to do, right? And I want it to be more substance than just me paying models to just run around with me, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not
right.
That's important, though. that's important. But I'm just saying that's important as far as substance. You gotta have substance. You gotta have substance.
Yeah,
you gotta have substance.
So they're not gonna get it.
It's out there now. I don't know. I mean, people will probably ask.
We'll see.
String it out for as long as you can, and then drop it one day.
Shout out to
buy the merch. They're gonna do a packet. You're gonna get a DVD with it.
We're gonna put that on something.
Yeah.
Shout out to the crew that put that together for us.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.